Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we're going to start at the 20th verse. One thing that Pastor Gardner has always taught us about ministry, okay, and how we are all ministers in Christ, and that we are reconciled, to be reconciled unto God and also to unto each other. Reverend Grant was just up here saying that time is short. So we're going to start reading here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said that ye be reconciled unto God." Now, at this time, the Corinthian church was split. They were splitting. You know, one was of Paul, one was of Cephas, one was of Christ, and they were all split. Okay? And even now, the church has a splitting. One wants this one, one wants that. But God is trying to tell us that we are ambassadors for Him.
Right.
Amen. Not for ourselves.
Amen.
It says, "Now that we are ambassadors for Christ." Mm-hmm. And God is beseeching all of us to become reconciled one to another. Amen. It says, "We are then workers together with Him." Now that word "with Him" is not there. So that means we are workers together under Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. What is that important? Because a lot of folks, they get saved and they want to do something, but they go without the instructions.
All right.
Come on now.
And when you go without the instructions, just like on your job, there's a protocol and a detail that you have to do on your job in order to do it correctly. And when you don't do it correctly, you can mess it up.
Yeah.
And not only you can mess it up for yourself, you can mess it up for other folks.
Amen.
Read why I was saying this. I was telling the pastors, God's talking about reconciliation. And not only is he talking about us, he's talking about the outside world.
All right.
Time is short. Mm-hmm. And folks are not coming to Christ the way they should. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of us.
Say that. All right. Say that.
Because of us.
Say that.
Man.
What do you mean? I was talking to some people and they were talking about how mean-spirited Christians are.
Come on now.
How they're trying to beat them into the kingdom instead of loving them into the kingdom.
Amen.
Jesus said, by loving kindness have I drawn. The love of God is what drew us in. The love of God is what keeps us. The love of God is what sustains us.
Yes.
So the love of God is what's going to draw them in.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I was talking with them and we began to, you know, it was just the basics, because a lot of times they haven't heard these things. And for example, I told them the word Jehovah. So when I said the word Jehovah, the first thing they thought was Jehovah Witness. Uh-huh. No. That's his Hebrew name. Begin to tell them about the simple things about Christ, how they talked about him. I said, he talked about him so bad they called him a whoremonger and a wine bibber. Why? Because Christ was not concerned with the big shots. Christ was concerned with those that were lost. Okay? He was concerned with those that are lost. And they began to tell me about the Christians that they encountered and how they were sometimey. How they would put them in a trick bag at work. How they would be mean to them. And I was astonished. Because we're supposed to be all about love, because God is love.
That's right.
And I began to tell them about the things how God... I gave them the story about how my car... I told you about this. When the serpentine belt on the car broke and it still was running. God kept it running. Well, when I began to relate that to the young lady, she was talking about, oh, that's deja vu. Well, I didn't correct her. I was trying to get her to understand that God will communicate with you, because some Christians will tell them that if you not, you God don't talk to sinners. They forgot. If he didn't talk to a sinner, how did you get saved?
Come on now. Amen. Come on now.
All right now.
We forget. We get caught up on who we are and what we are. Yeah, there's a pride about being saved. There's a pride about belonging to God. But Jesus was humble.
That's right.
Jesus was humble. And he came down here, and let's continue on. It says, 21, it says, for he has made him sin to be, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. In other words, he made Christ a sin offering for us.
Amen.
That we might be made the righteousness in him.
Yes.
My righteousness is in God. My goodness is in God.
Yeah.
Everything that is wonderful about me is in God.
Yeah.
In this flesh is no good thing.
Man.
So I can't present myself as someone who is all of that and a big shot. Why? Because Christ didn't do it. He humbled himself in order to reach people. You got to come down where they are. You got to listen to them. You got to be patient with them. Okay? When things are, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but when things are going bad, you can't let it show.
Amen.
Because they're watching.
Amen.
You're representing Christ.
Amen.
They got an idea who Christ is, but you got to show them the real deal.
Amen.
Folks still showing off.
Come on now.
A couple weeks ago, it was after church. I went and over here to get some change because I was going to get me a dinner from Lawrence. A brother pulled up. Used to go here. That's nothing new. Always come asking about what time service starts. You've been here for 100 years. You know what time service starts. So I see the brother. I greet him. Hey, good to see you. So he's laughing and joking and everything. And all of a sudden, he shows me this CD. Well, the guy was a singer. I'm thinking he's showing me his CD. No, he's not showing me his CD. He wants me to know that he got a CD player in his car. I just looked. I smiled and said, good to see you, brother. Folks are so caught up on silly stuff. You trying to CDs are almost obsolete, and you're trying to show me you got a CD player in your car. And you a born-again believer. Come on. Where's the sense that God gave us? God gave us. We have the mind of Christ,
that's
but
right.
You've got to use it by this word to activate it.
Right.
So he's made him to be sin for us, a sin offering, okay, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Sixth chapter. Now I'm going to jump to the second verse. It said, he said, I heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. I have succored thee. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus came here and he prayed a prayer that we might be rescued, that we might be brought back to God. And God heard him. Now is the day of salvation. In the day that you hear it, now is the day of salvation. Not only for us, you know, who are saved, that we come together as one mind and one body, but also for the people that are out in the street.
Yeah.
Now is the day of salvation for them. We work under God. This is the accepted time. It's the day of salvation. God will help us to get those people who are lost. But we got to do it the right way.
Amen.
I'm going back to the job again. I used to work on a furniture dock. Well, the one guy, he got sick. So they sent a replacement on. Now, he don't work on the dock. I do. Instead of him coming over asking me what's going on, we got a locked truck up that's ready to go out for delivery. What does he do? He comes over there, breaks the seal on the lock, just opens the truck up. Now it's got to be resealed, redone. Why? Because we don't ask. We got to cooperate one with the other.
Come on now.
Amen.
That's what this thing is about. Now, Third verse, it says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry might not be blamed. We don't offend people by our attitude, by our disposition, so that the ministry of God, not this necessarily this church, but the ministry of Christ is not discredited. Folks finding fault with Christians. Why? Because we're acting out of order. Amen. And I'm going to just use me so that way you ain't saying I'm talking about somebody. You know, oh, yeah, me. Like Pastor Tim. Yep, Mickey, he was talking about me. The word of God is so powerful, it is able not only to save, but it is able to touch you. I'm speaking generally now what God has given me, but it's able to touch you. Yeah. So if God touches you with correction, don't take it personal. That was one of the first things this man taught. That's why I'm still here today, because he told me not to take things personal. Amen. Folks in the church, when they talk about you or talk about the way you minister or do things, don't take it personal. Amen. Why? Because they didn't call you. Now, maybe God had a hand in it, ministering to you through them. But God told them this is the appointed time for this individual. Amen. So in that, I don't know, when they start tripping, I don't take it personal, because I belong to God. I do my ministry or whatever in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And I pray for them.
That's right.
And lift them up when they don't act right. That the ministry be not blamed.
Amen.
It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers, establishing ourselves as the servants. That's what that word minister means. Servant. Everybody wants to rule. Nobody wants to serve. Let me tell you something. One of Jesus' titles was the servant of God. The servant of God. He came down here and served humanity with his life. We who are the ambassadors of Christ, we also have to serve humanity with our life.
Amen.
Approving ourselves to be the servants of God.
Amen.
When I told the person that God talks to them, I wish you'd have been there, you could have seen her face light up. Now, she didn't get saved then. A lot of times folks think you folks get saved as soon as you preach the word to them. It don't happen like that a lot of times.
Amen. Amen.
It took God time to work on this flesh to convince me that his offer was genuine. And he drew me by his spirit. So you have to be patient with folks. What was that? King Agrippa, when he was talking to Paul, said, I'm almost persuaded. That was from one encounter. Perhaps if Paul had got a chance to talk to King Agrippa more than once, he might have been fully persuaded.
Amen.
But once again, it's up to us. It says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the servants of God in patience and afflictions. In other words, when you go through things, you have to still stand up.
Amen.
When you go through calamities, you have to still stand up and represent that you're an ambassador of Christ. Okay? They look and see, my car was tripping out and stopped out there at auto, so I had to call Pastor Arnice to come out there and get me out there where they live. Okay? And one of the guys who I work with, he's not saved, but he said, you know what? God testing you. Now, what he know about it? He's not thinking about God, but they know enough about it so that you got to stand upright. They know these things. So I have to stand upright and do the right thing at all times so that you might convince them to give God a try. Fifth verse, it says, in stripes and imprisonment. Now, back then, they were getting beat for the ministry.
Amen.
We're not getting beat like that. Okay. We're not getting beat like that. Folks talk about us, yeah, it hurts. Folks don't like our ministry, yeah, it hurts. They may try to put you in a box, you know. I just tell it, you know, pastor here, you know, a lot of folks used to try to take credit for his ministry. You know, their son and all this stuff. Now, if your father and son or mother and daughter, you know, you look like your mother, you sound like your mother, you sound like your father. It didn't sound like your parent, okay, but he didn't say anything. He just went on to minister. But see, God had a way of doing things. When God used that teacher to reproduce another teacher.
Come on now.
And I got up and I began to sound, and I didn't sound like the others. He was accused of taking over the church. And then when I got up, you know what? I'm scared to give you the word if God don't give it to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm scared.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I know how to go to hell all by myself. I know how to go there by myself. Okay? I don't need to drag you there with me. Or cause you to stumble and fall in such a way.
Amen.
Leader, what you got to say? I don't have nothing to say. God ain't told me nothing. So this mom's gonna, someone got to get up there and shanda and all this kind of stuff. That don't mean nothing. Except God inspired the word. So they didn't like what I said, so I found myself on the bench a lot. But that didn't, I didn't allow that to discourage me.
Amen.
Because I had that man as an example.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what this means about reconciliation, being pulled together so that you can stay strong, so that you can do the ministry that God wants you to do. So in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in other words, when there's commotion, in labors, when you got to go out and minister, you know, in watchings, you know, you have to stay up and watch and pray, and by fasting. You have to approve yourself in all of these things. Establish yourself in all these things. By pureness, by pure motives.
Say that.
Pure motives. Your motives got to be pure when you're ministering.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You got to obey all of the word and all of the laws. Jesus didn't break the law. Folks figure they can break the law in the name of Jesus and get folks saved.
Yeah.
You got, let me tell you something. The word of God is so powerful, you're going to get some, but you're not going to get them all. What do you mean? Okay, where I work at, they tell you in the buildings that clean, okay, that you can't post any religious messages. Well, we got pastors that post religious messages. Now, it's got to be fair for everybody. So if there's 18 different religions in the building, 18 different people can put different messages on the board, and you can't get the emergency numbers in case you call the fire department. You have to call the fire department. Come on. So they tell you don't do it. This one, she's going to put it on there. But in the meantime, you're not getting the boss to say, because they see you. You may get the common person, but the person that is running the place, they see it and they don't want to have nothing to do with you because this Christian is out of order. They can't follow simple instruction.
Say that.
Hallelujah.
We're going to get everybody, not just a few. This isn't collateral damage.
Right.
This is life. This is the life of God that we're supposed to be doing. So we have to do it according to the instruction of God.
Amen.
Had another occasion. I come out on Sunday. I mean, it was a sunny day. It was in the summer, a couple years ago. I'm coming out. We go to buildings. And all of a sudden, I hear this sound. Pay attention to it. And I'm hearing this sound just yelling out. Androbo koshanda kiriobo sha. Like somebody's trying to play Daniel. Are you kidding me? They got their window open speaking in tongues. That's nonsense. The Bible says he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself first.
Right.
When Daniel prayed, everybody knew in town what he was doing. When you pray in an unknown tongue, you speak mysteries unto God. And nobody knows what you're saying unless somebody, God allows somebody to interpret. So you're out there thinking you're doing something. You're making it. The Bible says if they don't understand it, they think you mad. You're crazy. Somebody crazy saying something up in tongues. Do you think anybody wants to be involved with that? Why? Because it's crazy. It's out of order. You go home, read I think that's the 14th chapter of Corinthians. It tells you all about it. We've got to do things decent and in order.
Say that.
By pureness, pure motives. by the knowledge, the acquired knowledge of God. You got to learn about God. And I always say this, and I know because, you know, we look at TV and we look at all of this and all of that, and everybody talks about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God was setting the pattern. Jesus, a human being, he stripped himself of all his divinity, came down here as a human being filled with the Holy Ghost, like we are. He was the first, the pattern. We follow after him. We follow after the pattern. So we do the things that Jesus does. Now we have a body of believers. Okay? He put the body in. We always read that scripture about the communion. Folks think it's for us for forgiving sin. No, that was the let you know that the new covenant was now in place, activated by his blood. So I don't have to wait. A lot of folks use that for forgiveness of sin. I don't have to wait till first Sunday to get my sins forgiven. Anytime I mess up, I got to advocate with the Father. I go through Christ. I go through the door. Lord, I messed up. I messed up. Then I got to wait another month to get my sins forgiven. Drink the cup.
Come on now.
We got to read the instruction manual so that you know exactly what God's talking about. We are a new creation. We are a new body. Jesus said, I go away. Prepare a place for you. That where I am, ye may be also. The place is prepared. We're in the place. In my Father's house are many mansions, many realms in God. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so we're in the realm of God. We're in the dwelling place of God right now. And we're flowing together. That's why we have to be reconciled and love one another so that we don't hinder our ministry or anybody else's ministry. Let me tell you something. When I don't understand something about something I see or that the pastor put in place, what do? I keep my mouth shut. Eventually, God's going to show me what's going on. Sometimes when God shows you something, you may not be able to give it language or bring it out. You just do it, and God gives you the understanding later. We have to be patient with one another. So our motives got to be pure. We have to have the knowledge. We got to be able to suffer long with folks. Put up with them. Kindness. It's by the Holy Ghost. I can't do it in myself. Because a lot of times you see something. Now I like silly stuff. I don't like stupid stuff. I don't like stupid stuff. When they start acting stupid on the job, I just walk. Because that keeps me from saying stuff too, especially when superiors are acting stupid. And they can act stupid. Okay? So that I don't give offense to them. Why? Because you never know when there comes a time when you will be able to minister unto them. That's where that patience comes in. That's where that kindness comes in. That's where that long-suffering comes in. By love unfeigned. It's not a hypocritical love. Not a hypocritical love. It's not phony.
Amen.
We can't be phony.
Amen.
I can't be phony.
Amen.
I've got to show them that I love them. That means putting up with them. Now, you know, a lot of folks, we'll pretend like we love. I'll use Sister Denise, for example. I'm going to ask Sister Denise how to sing this song, and then when she goes away, I'm going to sing it the way I want to sing it. Or I'll ask for some help, and then when I get by myself, I ignore what you just told me. There's Christians doing this.
Yeah.
People see it. We think, let me tell you something. When it comes to spirituality, you cannot prove how spiritual you are to another individual. The church spirit. I'm anointed. I do this. I do that. We want to prove it. God's anointed me. I've laid hands on somebody. Jesus told them, the ones that didn't follow the nature, I don't know you.
Come on now. Come on now.
This, you know what? When folks do that to me, I just, okay, yeah. Then I go to Galatians and start looking at them characteristics. Because let me tell you something. When Jesus did miracles, it was a flash in the pan.
That's right.
Lightning struck. The man got healed. Dead raised. But that love is 24/7.
Come on.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for if you can love somebody. I'm looking for when they come to you and things are not right, how you treat them and how you act. That's what I'm looking for. Now, I don't go around just looking, you know, just for example, use Brother Lil Jon, and he said something like that. I'm not looking for that. Everybody knows, but you know, you're going to point yourself out. Now I'm going to look. You told me to look. So now I'm going to look. And I'm going to look and see those characteristics that's supposed to be manifesting in your life according to the word of God. Not according to what you're saying. Because it's not about competition.
Amen.
It's not. This human body that God has given, I'm just using that. There's many cells in here. They don't compete with each other.
Right.
They all get along so that the body can flow together and be healthy. Right. It's the same way with the body of Christ.
Amen.
We'd be reconciled with one another. Come on, give God some praise.
Yes.
Now it says, by the word of truth, by the logos of God, using it as an instrument. And then letting that instrument manifest through you. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 By the power of God, the reproducing power. The same way Pastor inspired me by the word of God. Because I told you, when I got to this church, I followed for a pastor. And I read the Bible from cover to cover like they tell you on TV. You know, read it from cover to cover. Lord, I don't know this. First chance I get, if class open up, I'm going to be in the class. Sometimes it was just me and the pastor there. But I wanted to know the word of God. I told him I've been saved 17 years. I don't know your word. That's a shame, God. Lord, that's a shame. So God reproduced the teacher in me. He says, by the armor of righteousness, right standing, right doing in all circumstances, on every occasion. Because this is the cause of Christ. Ministering to people, getting people saved, showing them that Christ through you loves them. By honor and dishonor. Meaning, the highs don't get too high and the lows don't get too low. To be even keeled.
Come on now.
When they made an evil report about me, continue to go on and do your business.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus did it. When they called him a whoremonger and a wine bibber, did he stop ministering? Oh, man. Hey, Peter. They called me a whoremonger and a wine bibber. Man, I ain't, man, skip them. A lot of folks do that. They get mad and things go happen. Now they're not ministering.
Right.
That's where the people can feel that mean-spirited. Now, because they're coming to you. They may not be coming to you to get a ministry, but they're coming to you. They know you are Christian. Now they're seeing something that's not Christ-like.
Amen.
Well, they said, well, folks can watch Christian television. Well, let me tell you, Christian television is for the Christian. What do you mean? Folks not turning on the TV to get saved. Christian TV is for the Christian. Who's going to turn on Christian TV? The Christian.
Right.
When somebody's going to get saved, there's going to be an encounter with one of us.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
It's going to be an encounter with one of us. Amen. We're the door. We're the introduction to the things of God. We're the introduction to Christ. And if we're not first impression, if we don't get it right, you turning them off.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
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 By honor and dishonor, by evil report, good report. Some folks think they're weird, you know, it's a trick. Deceivers. You know, all the Christians are phony. No, they aren't. You can't generalize like that. It's just like anything else. Yeah, there's some bad and some good.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Because what they want to do is that flesh in them wants to use that as an excuse not to turn their life around.
That's right.
So they convince themselves that nobody's good, so they don't have to encounter anybody that's saying they're a Christian to turn their life around.
Right. Amen. Amen.
As unknown and yet well known. We're strangers, sometimes to each other, and yet we recognize Christ in us by the attributes of Christ. Not that we speak in tongues or run around the church,
but
we feel a love.
Amen.
That we get together and we got each other's back. That's the real thing.
Yes.
as dying, and behold, we live. Apostle Paul was stoned for this word. God raised him up. They may stone you with words.
Come on.
Okay? And attitudes.
Yeah.
But God will bring you back to life.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Through the word.
Thank you.
That's the thing.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to get the word in you so that you know how to do ministry.
Yes. Amen.
It's just like the first day on the job. You don't know what to do on the first day on the job. Okay, you got to get instruction. You got to go through orientation. The word is our orientation.
Yes.
And I can say the epistles. Why? Because that's where we are now. Jesus walked the sea. That is the history of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? You can't live there. You can use it, but you can't live there.
Come on now.
You have to live currently where we are. Why? Because if you live there in the past, you'll tend to do like Peter said. Lord, the 70 over there, they're not with us.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did Jesus say? He said, if they're not against me, they're for me.
Amen.
You get over there and study those scriptures that show that we are part of a unit. Many cells make up the unit, many different talents, many different ministries in the unit. But we all flow from the head down.
Right.
Flows through the pastor who gives the instructions, who sets things in order according to the power of God.
Amen.
That's called apostle pastor. Fivefold ministry. One sent one. With this word, we're talking about flesh. You don't hear it everywhere. He sent him with that. Now, there's others around, but you know, a lot of times they don't want to hear that. Apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. God has a fivefold ministry to edify and build up the church.
Amen.
We all link up with them and join them together with the other ministries.
Amen.
We encourage one another because, yeah, it's easy to shout and jump and say God loves you in here. Go out there where them heathens at. It's hard out there.
Yeah.
They laughing about Jesus, making nasty jokes about him and all that stuff. You got to stand there.
Yeah.
That's what this word is for. It says, as sorrowful, sometimes you're going through things. And not happy about it, yet always rejoicing. In other words, letting the joy of God come through. Yeah. Tell them this morning in the Bible study that sometimes things happen in your life with your car, with your family, with things, and you're not happy. And you don't like what you're going through. Now I tell God, Lord, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But I don't blame God.
That's right.
He's the one going to get me out.
Yeah.
Others seeing you going through these things.
Amen.
Sorrowful, but you got to keep up the stiff upper lip. That joy of the Lord. Cheerful, calmly happy. Okay? Sometimes you may be poor. Don't have no money. Okay, but you got the King of Kings.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you may not have any earthly substance to bless anybody, but you have the Word of God.
Yeah.
But that's if you put it in.
Yeah.
If you don't put it in, nothing's going to come out.
Right.
Pastor always says that. What's in a man is going to come out.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't put no word in when you get squeezed, what's going to come out? What's there? What's there? The old man, he's there. He's there with the cussing. He's there with the grumbling. He's there with the complaining. That's why you have to put the word in so when you get squeezed, the word will come out.
That's right.
As having nothing. Your position in life may not be worth a hill of beans. But you're still energized by God.
Yeah.
I may not have the best suit or the best car or a lot of money in my pocket, but I still got the King of Kings. And that access means I got access to everything. Why? Because God can bless me. Yeah, you may not have money, but God can cause you to buy without it.
Come on, man.
Thank you.
Amen.
Possessing nothing but have all things. Now, 11th verse, it says, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is glad. Our heart is enlarged. In other words, even though Paul was correcting them, he was glad to see them. That's an old saying. Well, when you appeared before the king and the king didn't say nothing to you, you were in big trouble. You were in big trouble. That means the king was displeased with you.
Right.
Paul, who is the apostle here, says, we're glad to see you. Okay? We have affection for you. He said, you're not straightened or put in distress by us. You're straightening your own self. Let me tell you something. When the correction of God comes, don't take it personal. When God gives instruction, a lot of folks think, oh, they're trying to hold me back. I'm telling you, you're hearing that.
Yeah.
Instruction comes on how to do things decent in order, how to link up. Oh, they're trying to hold me back. Trying to fight out from the instruction. You got to go along. He's corrected me on several occasions. Okay? Only one time I can remember where it was real stern. Only one time. But I took the correction. You have to take the correction because we don't know everything.
Amen.
Folks get saved and they get a little bit of Jesus in them. And they know Genesis to Revelation. Ain't been in church for 2 minutes and know everything. You've seen it. You're on the job. You've just been here. 2 weeks on the job and know everything. You've been like, you just look at them messing stuff up. Just looking at them. They tearing it up. But they don't want to receive any instruction. You have to have a teachable mindset in order to do ministry. Let me tell you, you are the only one that can hold your ministry back.
Amen.
By not following out the instructions of God, God is not going to, he's not going to draw back his spirit from your salvation. But as far as you minister, I can't use them. They don't listen.
Come on now.
So he's saying, you're not distressed by us, but you're distressed on your own self. Says, now for a recompense, I want you to be glad to see me. In other words, when pastor corrects me about something, that don't mean I get an attitude. But I refuse to get an attitude. When that stuff come up and it do, I'm all right, back. Get back. Tell old man, shut up. I tell him, shut up. Because there's something in there that's that old man that's in there. Let me explain it this way. The Bible says sin is in remission. The nature of sin is in remission when you get saved.
That's right.
The domain is gone.
Right.
The nature is still there.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to fight the nature. So when I get corrected and that flesh don't like it, I push the nature back down into remission.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Says for a recompense, I want you to love me just like I love you. Okay. Now, 14, we're almost done. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know a lot of times we always think about marriage. That's true. You get involved with somebody, okay, they may not be saved. Okay, you date. Be careful. Take time to know the individual. Don't get so caught up emotionally that you make that mistake. You make a mistake, God will forgive you, but there's consequences a lot of times for your mistake.
That's right.
Okay, let's be real. We think that God got a magic erasure when we do stuff God to tell us not to do, and it was the grace of God is there to restore you, but that mistake that you made is still there.
Amen.
Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yes.
And when you're reaping, you always get more than what you put in the ground.
Right.
Always.
Amen.
So be careful.
Amen.
Also talks about business. You saved another person, I say, you going into business with him. Not a good idea. Because this other individual is going to cut the corners. This other individual might not pay the tax. You're going to be trying to do the right thing. This other individual is doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
God talks about it like you're putting two oxen together. One is bigger and one is smaller than the other. The bigger one is going to pull the other one off the line. You're not going to walk straight.
Amen.
In this case, he's talking about don't be yoked up to your own ideas and your own thoughts.
Amen.
About ministry. Because if you do that, you're going to mess it up. And you're going to not only mess it up for yourself, that individual that might not be saved at that time won't get saved if they encounter you and get a bad taste.
Yep. Right.
So be not unequally yoked together with yourself. So he's going to tell you, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? You don't work together. Mm-hmm. What fellowship and what common have light with darkness? It's either light or it's dark.
Amen.
Especially when you're talking about spiritual things, I go, oh, you condemn the room. No, no, we're not talking about that.
Amen.
Christ is the light.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes,
when you walk out of the light, you are in darkness.
Right. Right.
Where did darkness, I told him the Bible study this morning, where did darkness come from? From the man.
Amen.
How'd he get here? He walked out of the light on purpose.
Yeah.
Because he loved the dark.
Amen. Yeah.
So he's telling you, don't walk in it. There's no communication. And what concord or agreement or hugging is has Christ with Belial? Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, toward Belial. Something with that's worthy. There's no agreement with that. Or he that believeth, the believer, with an unbeliever. There's no communication. The only communication is that we witness to them. There's no agreement with them. So you have to remember that. So I don't agree with my flesh. How do I tell us my thought? Go in this book. Try not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, rather. Believe not every thought. That's what it's translated. Word of spirit. Thought. I'm saved, so I'm going to believe every thought that comes into this brain. No. Compared to his word. And if it's true, then I obey the thought. That's why a lot of times when I hear things about this word I haven't heard before, I go to the pastor. Because I want to make sure that we're on the line and I'm on line with God. Because once again, I'm not going to try to present something to you that's going to hurt or harm you. My job is to build you up and edify you and make you strong in God through this word that he gives, not to damage you. And what agreement has the temple of God with the temple of idols? We're the temple of God. With a living God. With the temple of idols. Which nothing's in it. Except a stone statue. Can't move. Can't do nothing.
That's right.
For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. He says, I will dwell in them. He is dwelling in us. He's walking in. He said, I will walk in them. He's walking in us. He said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, on account of the old man, come out from among those thoughts and be ye separate. I've got to separate from my thoughts, my ideas, my emotions when it comes to the ministry of God and do it his way so that people got a chance to get saved. They may not get saved, but the door is always open. That's why you have to treat them in such a way of loving so that they may not get saved right then. But like I was talking about the young lady and her eyes lit up when I told her about God talking. She came back to me a couple of days. Now she calls it deja vu and all this, but she began to say, you know what? I think that was God beginning to talk to me about something. The door is open. Doors open. That was weeks ago. She came back. You got another chance to minister to him. Yesterday, her husband, we were in the unit together. I was supposed to be here in rehearsal. Boss called me 4 minutes to go before I get off the clock. You got to go over here and do this stuff. I didn't get out of there until 7 o'clock. But it showed a good attitude because he was asking me about ministry. First of all, they want to know you getting paid. Everybody want to know if you're getting paid for the ministry. I'm told, I wish I was, but we're not. We do this because we love God.
That's right.
I said, you know, yeah, I want to be there, but you know, you make the good attitude. He said, yeah, that's you know, that's a good attitude.
Yeah.
Don't get to whining because of your situations and your circumstances. Listening.
Amen.
Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Any unclean thing that will cause you to be separate from God.
That's right.
That's what the word is here to direct. Any unclean thought or idea or emotion that will cause you to mess up with somebody who is not saved, you got to separate from them.
Amen.
He says, and I will receive you, and shall be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come on, give God some praise. And we're done. Come on, give God some more praise. So it's important in this time that we reconcile one to another and also that we reconcile with the world. And what I mean by that is minister to them so that they come to God.
That's right.
Because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
It's not about condemning them or telling them they go to hell.
Right.
The only ones Jesus told going to hell was the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
That's right. That's right.
He didn't tell them, though. He didn't tell the prostitute that. He didn't tell the ones who were drunk that.
That's right.
What good is that? All you're going to do is separate them.
Right.
We have to follow the ministry that Jesus did. Jesus set the pattern.
Man.
We follow that pattern, and then we get the results that we want. Everybody stand.
Amen.